This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful as usual.
Well, good. Excellent. It's Saturday morning. We made it through another windy Friday yesterday, so hopefully it'll be a little calmer today.
Well, I'm hoping. But, you know, in West Texas, it changes every few minutes.
Oh, my goodness. I know. And they told me when I first moved out here a couple of years ago, they said, now, it gets windy. And I said, okay, well, I like the little breeze. But, my goodness, when you get gusts up to, like, 60, that's a big deal. That can be dangerous.
They didn't tell you. That it gets so bad, they tell the motorhomes to get off the road, the SUVs lots of times. I know out in El Paso especially, you've got those mountain roads and they close those off when it gets bad.
Do they
and
really?
They close that off in that mountain that you have to go through that mountain pass. They close it off, and then they tell all the RVs and the SUVs to get off the freeway.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, it gets really bad. We think 60-mile-an-hour wind is bad. Well, out there, it can really be treacherous.
I would imagine probably semis can't get through that either.
No. Oh, yeah, the semis are turned back.
Wow.
Yeah, they turn all them back and do not let them cross through that divide right there as you're coming into El Paso. And they have to go all the way around the city on that loop to get back to Interstate 20. And even then, lots of times they're telling them, you know, to get off the freeway and to park it for a while.
Wow, I didn't know that. I've always loved a nice breeze and the wind, but...
We're not talking about a breeze, hon. We're talking about the real thing.
Yeah. If you're going to be a bear, you might as well be a grizzly.
That's right, yes. And lots of times, the dirt will blow so hard between here and Lubbock, because you've got all those cotton fields and all that farming, and the farms move over to the neighbors.
Really?
Yeah, the dirt just goes away. I mean,
wow.
I've been on that road and that freeway when it was happening, and I'm here to tell you, it was not funny. You just have to, you know, get off the freeway and, you know, do the best you can.
Wow. I've never heard of that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
It is, and... since then, when they say there's a dirt storm coming, I do not get on the freeway anywhere, and I certainly would not go toward Lubbock, where all the cotton farms are, because a lot of that is dirt.
Yeah.
And that plowed dirt will blind you. I mean, you have to stop and wait till it's over.
Wow.
And, it's pretty rank. So.
Some serious
West
business.
Texas has lots of surprises.
Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, we don't have, you know, for the most part, we don't have tornadoes. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have, what else do we have? Earthquakes. No earthquakes. So, relatively speaking, this is a pretty sweet spot of the country.
I love the way you put it. I mean, you make it sound like paradise.
Oh, it's paradise. It is paradise.
Yeah, just like paradise. My goodness. But springtime in West Texas is always interesting, okay?
Yes.
Always interesting. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
So this is all about growing your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early. And the point is when you retire, even if you don't retire early, or even if you don't want to say, if you don't want to be rich, if you just want to retire comfortably, regardless, you have to do the planning. I mean, so if your goal is not to have, you know, $5 $100 million in the bank when you retire, that's okay. But you want to make sure you have enough that you can live comfortably. You want to keep the same standard. You don't want to start having to make cutbacks and eat ramen noodles for every meal. But you need to do the planning. And so that's where a lot of people get hung up.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to ask you a trivia question.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Now, you've been here 2 years.
Yeah.
What is the official vehicle for the state of Texas?
A pickup truck.
No, I thought that too. It is the chuck wagon.
Whoa,
the chuck wagon, yes, because that was invented so many years ago in the 1800s. It's just an amazing thing. And they didn't make it, I don't think, the official vehicle till in the 2000s. They didn't make it the official vehicle when it was made. When it was invented, the J.A. Ranch was owned by, the guy that invented it, they made the movie Lonesome Dove after him. They've done so many things, about him, and him and his partner. And anyway, he invented the chuck wagon because they needed it during all those drives of the cattle to Kansas City.
You tricked me because I didn't think of the chuck wagon as a vehicle.
Well, they designated it as the official vehicle because it moved. it was driven by either horses or mules back then,
Yeah.
So I was shocked when I discovered, because I thought I knew everything about, the bird. I know the birds. I know, all these other things that, like the flower, everything for the state of Texas. I did not know that it was the chuck wagon.
Well, see, you're full of all kinds of information.
That's right, and I wanted to be sure, you being new to Texas, that you knew this. I felt like you needed to know it.
I had a hankering for official vehicle knowledge, and I didn't know where to go.
That's right. Always ask me first. Because I might know it,
You probably
it
do.
Might be,
if it has anything to do with Texas, you're all over it.
I am. Anything about Texas, if I don't already know it, I want to know it, okay?
Yeah. In fact, I think you should be the official woman of Texas.
There you go. The historian, maybe, or something.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. If you don't know your Texas history, come ask me.
Yeah.
Because I love our Texas history and all the things that have happened since time began.
Oh, yeah. So much rich history.
Oh, there's no state that has the history of Texas.
Right, exactly. And I've been to a lot of states, but there's none like this.
There's none like Texas. Now then, onward and upward. We were talking a minute ago about, retirement and how we could help you and how this can change your life. Well, I had a lot of people in this week. And one couple has been, we always talk about procrastination. And they are the world's greatest procrastinators. They've been listening to me for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And they just now came over to talk to me. And I told them, I said, I will mention you on the show tomorrow because you're the world's greatest procrastinator. Oh, my gosh.
What made them finally make the move and come over and talk to you? Do you know? Did they say?
Yes. One of our other clients talked to him and said, I've been a client of Faith for several years. And, I'm making money. I'm happy. And told him, said, I know you're worried about the stock market. We know your money is in the stock market. You've just retired and you're scared. And they said, that's the whole story. We are scared. We don't know what to do with our money. He said, go and talk to Faye and see if it's a fit. And anyway, they came over this week. I learned a lot about them. And now they're conservative on top of conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anyone could be quite that conservative. They're very, very, very conservative. They've worked all their life. They've saved, worked, saved. As far as I can tell, they've never done anything extravagant. They have three daughters. They put them through college. They got them married off, did all the right things. And now they're saying, if we can get our money solidified, get it safe, could we possibly go and have a good time? They're ready to go out and have some fun. Now, I don't know if that means just going to the creek, putting their feet in. I don't know what fun would be for them. You know, I would take that even. You know, I'd just go out there, get me a book, get under the tree, and just read all day long.
Retire.
That's what I'd do.
Take it to the creek.
Take it to the creek, folks. Your blood pressure will go down immediately, you know? There's not anything out there but frogs and a few snakes.
Oh, yeah. It's nice and peaceful.
Yeah. It's very peaceful. It'd be a good Sunday afternoon thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm all for that. But I had lots of Odessa people over this week. We did a lot of business with people from Odessa this week. And the other couples that came were not retired yet. They're thinking about it. They want to retire. They just haven't done it. And they're trying to figure out, do I have enough money coming in monthly or quarterly, you know, that I can retire. They have the assets, but they just weren't sure how to retire. Now, let me tell you the funniest part of all. She said, we've just come into some money from some of their other things. And she said, now, I'd like to put my mother in this also. And I said, well, yes. How old is your mother? 99.
Oh, wow.
I almost fell out of my chair. I said, your mother is 99 and wants to make an investment? She said, sure she does. I go, oh, my gosh. I've never heard of this in my life. And the mother goes to the country club every day and plays cards. And I said, is she gambling? She said, they play for half a cent a point.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm going, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So, now, this is how funny it is. She calls her mother from here. And she said, mother, you know, we talked about this. What do you want to do? She said, I want to do it. I'm going, I can't even believe this.
She's living.
99.
She's found a way to enjoy retirement.
She is enjoying her life, her retirement, her family, and she does everything but drive.
That is fantastic.
Now, if our people think they might live that long, we may have to reassess our values here. Oh, my gosh.
So, I assume that's probably the oldest investor you have that you work with, right?
That will be the oldest investor that we have in the state. In the state. I've got some that are in their 80s, that their children are on the deal with them. And I told the daughter, I said, now, my requirement is you have to be on the contract with your mother. You have to also have her power of attorney. She said, I have all that.
Yeah.
I go, well, okay, here we go. Mother, come right along.
Just jump right
and
in.
So, yeah, so we now have a lady that's 99 years old.
Wow. So we talk all
her
the time.
Her and her daughter.
We ask, you know, when is it too late? Okay, well, now the bar has been moved.
It has been moved. We know now that if you're sane and you have a child that can help you, we'll let you do it. I just never had to let anybody do it at that age because they didn't have somebody to look after their money.
Oh, that
but
is.
But now we do, and she's 99 and coming along with us.
All right. Yeah.
And we're really proud of this deal. And as I said, we had these other couples. They all had a story to tell. It was interesting. And then we had another gentleman come in. His wife couldn't come. And he laid all of his portfolio down on the table and said, I want to move it. I want to put it all in one deal. I'm tired of having it in three or four companies.
So this gentleman had all his everything all right there. He brought it in, brought you a folder, set it down, and said, here, go.
That's exactly what he said. He said, I want to get it out of the stock market. Now, every one of these people wanted out of the stock market, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anybody wanting to stay in the stock market this week. That was one of those things. They've gotten scared again because, you know, the brokers are saying the crash could be worse than 87, not 2008, 87.
Really?
Yes, and one of the couples that came over from Odessa said they have a friend in Odessa that they lost so much money they've had to go back to work.
Really? After they retired?
After they retired, and they're both working again. Now, and these are not high-paying jobs. These are small jobs. And I feel sorry for them because if they hadn't had it all in the stock market, they wouldn't have had to go back to work.
See, now we talk about this all the time, you know, for at least 6 months or so, we've been talking about how, you know, after you retire, the last thing you want to do is go back to work. And these people are what, in their, I'm assuming maybe their 70s?
I think they're like 68, mm-hmm. 65, or 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you what they do. They work so hard out here, they're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Because if they had been paying attention, they'd have known it was going down little by little. And that fast drop did it. And they lost so much, it didn't come back. You know, most people's came back in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Theirs did not come back. They lost so much, they've had to go back to work just to have income.
Wow.
And, you know, one thing about our product, it is a life insurance product. You know, you're going to get whatever the face amount of the policy is. They're not going to ask you to take a discount. It cannot go down like a mutual fund or a stock can. And, you know, I just think it's a better deal at this age.
Now, let me ask you something.
I don't think at this age you should have all that dadgum risk.
Because I'm hearing somewhat of a theme in some of these stories that you're telling from people that you've talked to this week. What about somebody who's already, because we talk all the time about, you know, getting ready for retirement, saving for retirement, growing your money so you can retire. What about the person who's already retired and they've got enough, but they're real nervous about the stock market, you know, because you're saying things like, you know, this next crash could be worse than 87. What about that? Is this, you know, maybe the time to make sure that you don't lose everything, to move everything over and go to some kind of a life settlement like this?
Well, in my opinion, if it was my money, that's what I would do. Everybody has to make their own choice in life. I always say this. Invest in the stock market only what you can afford to lose. If you can do without that money, stay in the stock market. If you can't, you might want to put some of it with us, where you don't have it all 100% at risk.
Yeah.
You know, and ours has risk. Ours is not without risk. You know, we've still got those three old policies we talk about all the time that are in their 90s that are going to outlive us all, and the premiums are high, but we hope to get out of that eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We might even get out in the next 2 years. Who knows? But most of our policies are not like that. We do have some go over. That's your biggest risk. If it goes over, can you afford the risk of it going over? In other words, it may cost you a premium for 2 years. Might be a year. Might be $500. Might be $1,000. You know. And we try not to do high premiums. There is a few that have high premiums. If they do, we try to put a lot of people in to spread it out, okay?
Right.
But you're going to know everything about that policy when you go in. We're not going to have any surprises. We're not going to leave anything out and not tell you, okay? So when we say, this is page 14, you want to sign it, you want to read it and look at it. It's going to tell you who the person is that we've insured. It's going to tell you the face amount. It's going to tell you what life insurance company holds the paper. It's going to tell you what percent you're going to make. It's going to tell you if it goes over what it will cost you. So that's everything you need to know right there. You need to know every one of those facts and do accordingly. And our people, 90-something percent are accredited, so it will not hurt them. You know, they have other money. They have cash. They're not broke. It's not their last dollar.
So when you say accredited, what does that mean for those who don't know?
That means they're making at least $200,000 a year, or they have $1 million in assets without their home, okay?
So they have plenty of other assets for when things come up and to pay bills and to live their life.
That's right. They could live for 5 years and never touch this, and that's important that you have emergency money, that you have other money to live on. And I talked to the people this week about this. Since they've already retired, the one couple, they need to have a certain amount of money in cash at all times. So I think they're going to take my advice. And, you know, if they're going to use $100,000 a year, we need to put like maybe $200,000 in cash in there and keep it at that, you know, the rest of their life. Or if they just want $100,000 in there, whatever they want, we need to make sure they have that at all times. That it's not all invested. In other words, you can't invest 100% if they don't have other money. If they have other money, you don't have to worry about it. But you have to check that and be sure they do.
So for the person who says, okay, I'm gonna you know, try something new. I'm gonna, you know, get involved in life settlements. I'm gonna, you know, do this, get out of the stock market, and they have this perception of, oh, this is like the lottery. I'm gonna, you know, invest today, and then, you know, tomorrow, you know, a policy will mature, and I'm all of a sudden rich. That's not this at all.
That is not going to happen. That is a figment of somebody's imagination.
All right.
Because the policies are 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. They're not going to come due tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, we have had one that came due in 2 months, but that's highly, highly unusual, you know, for something like that to happen. Usually they're going to go 18 months, 12 months. Some of them are going to go 24. And we've got a lot of the 24 that are coming in early, which I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got some that have went over. And when they go over, then we immediately get a new life expectancy and see what the deal is.
So
why
you
didn't come in on time? Yes, I reassess the life expectancy and find out what happened.
So what would you say to somebody, because we've been talking all these hypotheticals for months, and now you've got some real-life examples of people who have retired, lost everything in the stock market, and have to go back to work. So what would you say to somebody who was either on the verge of retirement or already retired, and they're scared of the stock market, they're looking for a more solid type of investment, but they're still nervous to completely jump ship and get 100% on board. What would you tell them to calm their nerves?
I would tell them to come in slowly, you know, get your feet wet, find out if you like us, if you like the returns. I think the returns are good. They're solid. I would come in and put some money in. If you like it, then put more money in. Or if it's somebody that's got a 401k, they're retiring or already retired, they may want to remove the whole 401k over and invest it at a little at a time. They may want to do two policies, start with three policies or four. You know, you never know. So it's different for everybody. Whatever they've got, they need to say, okay, I want this in a life settlement, or maybe I want it in an annuity. You know, there's annuity people which are different than any other people. There's life settlement people that are different than annuity people. Annuity people want a fixed, guaranteed principal, and they want either a fixed rate that changes every once a year, or they may want to invest, you know, behind the scenes in the S&P or the Dow, and they're not directly in the stock market ever. And your principal is always safe with an annuity, too. So we have several types of people, you know, and a lot of them say, I just want to start taking income next year, so they may need some money in an annuity and some in a life settlement. You don't ever know till you talk to them and find out how they feel.
So really, when it comes down to it, the reassurance lies in the actual results.
That's exactly right. And they can go to our website, and they can look it up and see what everybody's made for 5 years. Every time we have a maturity, we put it on the website, put all the initials on it, where everybody will know.
So if somebody comes into you to see you for the first time and they say, okay, I'm hesitant, I don't really understand, I think I get it, but you know, I don't really know all the ins and outs, I'm not comfortable because I'm used to, you know, investing in Wall Street for, you know, the last 50 years, and so, you know, this is a little bit different foreign concept to me. Are you able to show them, and I know the data is on the website, but when you're actually sitting there with a person and they're in the heat of the moment of the conversation and they're actually moving forward, do you ever go over some of the, you know, historicals and say, okay, look, this is what some real people are making. These are, you know, really, these are actual figures. These are profits of real investments.
Yes, I always do. What I do is I'll have Claudia pull up some actual quarterly report or a six-month report and show, you know, what the people have made. And I don't ever mind doing that. I'm always willing to do that. I always want to give them the facts. We're not going to give them a scenario that says this is what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to do that. I'm always going to say, okay, here is what the people have made, where you'll actually know what they really, you know, got.
So these are,
you know, we want to be real.
And this has been going on for so long. You've been doing this for a number of years. You've got this track record that's absolutely amazing for making people money. And so people are probably sitting here thinking to themselves, if they haven't done this before, they're not familiar, they're thinking, my goodness, you know, there's got to be some kind of downside. And I know we've talked about some of the risks, and one of those is if the policy goes over. And so the reason that becomes a risk is because they may have to pay the premiums, but relatively speaking, the risk is not going to wipe out your profit.
No, it won't. Because if you, let's say you've got five or six policies, there should be some of them that'll come in on time, maybe one early, and there may be two that come in late.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you're expecting it. It's not going to be a surprise, you know. And as I said, I've had one client said the last 5 months she'd had one come due every month, and it's not going to happen all the time, you know. So we just, you know, we never know if it's going to come in early. You know, usually stomach cancer and some of these others, you know, are going to come in right on time. And of course, Fasano is the best. They're the ones that tells us just how it's going to come out. And but they always err on side of caution, okay? So theirs will be, they'll show longer than some of the others, but they actually may be shorter than that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I can always depend on them. I like the way theirs say, and I like the way they do the study on theirs.
So they're very conservative on their estimates.
They're very conservative. Some of the others are not as conservative. And theirs come in okay, too, but I would say that Fasano is the best, you know?
So you look at all these reports, and you, I guess you kind of, is it fair to say you, like, average them out or assess them all and compare them, or how does it work?
Well, I like to assess them all and figure out what I think is going to happen.
Okay. And you've been seeing these reports for years and years and years, and even though you're not a medical doctor, it has everything that you need to know inside these three reports. You mentioned page 14 a little while ago, which has all of the information about the policyholder, the type of cancer they have, the treatments that they've gotten, what's worked, what hasn't worked, if they've tried like other types of non-traditional treatments. It has all this in there.
Yes, and if they're going to non-traditional, you know, I'm worried to death if the people are not going to make it, and that it will be a lot quicker, because you've got to do the regular things. Now you've just got to do it. If you're not doing either surgery or chemo or radiation, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And when I see those and they say, you know, I want to do another kind of treatment, I go, oh my gosh, you know. I figure it's not going to work out well, I'll just tell you.
Mm-hmm. So for the person who's never never done this before, they're not really sure about how the process works. It's a totally foreign concept to them. And they're saying, okay, investing in a life insurance policy, how does this work? So in your general explanation, how would you simply explain how the whole process works?
Well, you know, from the start to finish, you know, we are going to bid on those policies, and we bid it through a licensed provider, okay? That's the way it works. You have to go through them. So we start right there, and then when we're bidding it, if they say, you've got the bid, then we're going to notify our people and say, here, we've bought this policy, and here is the situation. This is what kind of cancer they've got. This is who the life insurance company is. This is how much I think you ought to put in it. Then it's up to them. They can either do it or reject it, and usually they don't. Usually they figure, if I bought it, then I think it's a pretty good policy,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the way we do on every one of them. And then once we get it, as I said, we're going to print it out. We're going to send it to them. And so then they can look at it and say, okay, this is what all this person has got wrong with them. This is what the doctors say. And the doctors say this is how long they're going to live. And the doctors are not always right, you know. And there's been some times that I was right and they were wrong. And then there's some times then we were both wrong, you know. And you just don't know till till the time comes, till the 18 months or 24 months is up.
So when you talk about bidding on these policies, these are life insurance policies that the holder wants to sell for a number of reasons. Usually the biggest reason they want to sell it is because they need that quick cash to go ahead and pay for cancer treatments because they're very, very expensive. So for that to happen, for them to be able to sell it, somebody needs to be able to buy it. So if people are thinking, my goodness, they're just, you know, people are just, you know, having their policies taken away. That's not it at all. They need to sell it.
They do, or they wouldn't be doing it. They'd keep it, and they would give their heirs that money. But a lot of people can't wait that long. If they could, they would. And then what I find out is that, like a lot of them, if they've got a lot of money, they say, I want to give the children the money right now before I die and see what they're going to do in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had that Whitworth. It was a huge policy. And we've had $20 million one we did 2 years ago. And the gentleman was from Europe. He went back to Europe, and he stayed there till just before he died. But his children already had the $20 million. We'd already bought the policy a year before. So he had no problems. He had nothing to do. He had put it in a trust for him. And so he put the cash in there, gave us the life policy, and then when he passed away, our clients made all the money. So it works out when you do it that way. And that's the way we do every one of ours. And The children have to sign off, or whoever the heirs are, they have to sign off saying they know they're not going to get the money, that your parent has already gotten the money out of the policy.
And obviously our biggest hope is that, you know, anybody that's diagnosed with cancer can beat it and survive and go on to live a long, healthy, wonderful life. But reality is that doesn't always happen. And so when this becomes a financial transaction, it helps everybody. It helps the policyholder. They get that lump sum. It becomes an investment opportunity for other people to make money. And really, everybody wins in that sense.
That's exactly right. It's a win-win situation. First of all, it helps the people that have the cancer and their family. And then, of course, it helps our people. The investment is good for them. You know, they're going to make about 1% a month till the policy comes due. You know, that's about 12% a year. And then sometimes if it comes in early, they get that 24% in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps. And it's all on our website. Go to the website. Check us out. Look at it. Look at references. Everything is right there.
And you know, you kind of touched on that briefly, and I think that's one of the things that make a life settlement type of investment so attractive to so many people is because if it's a 24-month policy, you expect the policy to mature in 2 years, and if it comes in early, if it comes in, say, in 12 months or 18, the investor still gets the full 24%, they just get it earlier. It's not like their profit is cut depending on when the policy matures. They get the entire investment.
That's exactly right. They're going to get the whole thing when it matures. The family's already been paid, and usually by this time that person, within 24 months, they've already passed away. And we've had several lately that passed away at 12 months. They didn't live that long, okay?
Wow. All right.
So, you know, it's you just never know for sure. But we just go by what's happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. And those historicals speak a lot, you know. I mean, this is not just a matter of, you know, throwing a coin in the air and making a guess. This is all based on historical data that has you know, proven to be a win-win situation time and time again. This has been going on for years. Oh, you've been doing this for what, 15, 16 years?
Yes, but not all life settlements all that time.
Uh-huh.
You know, but we started doing those about 9 or 10 years ago.
Yes, I mean that's an awful lot of data. That's an awful lot of historical data that you got under your belt, and a lot of proven experience with this.
That's exactly right. You know, we learned as we went because we had never done that before.
Yeah.
So as we went through it, we learned a lot of things, and we made a lot of changes as we went along.
Perfect. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3333. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my favorite store. Ivy Cottage.
We should mention that that's the phone number to call next week to make an appointment. There's nobody there now because it's Saturday, and y'all do take a little bit of time off for the weekend. But make that appointment for Monday. Go in and talk to Faye and sit down and figure out, you know, the best plan for you. When do you want to retire? You know, how many years do you have to grow your money? Where are you starting from? Where do you want to be? You know, figure all that out. And then that way you can go ahead and retire, hopefully early. But if nothing else, happy and wealthy. So call that number on Monday. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. You always bring interesting facts. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Waco, Texas.
All right.
A lot of interesting things about Waco. You know, in the 1890s, the newspaper in Waco, and of course they had one, 1890, and this old guy was targeting Baylor University back then. His name was Braun. And he revealed in the paper that Baylor officials had been importing South American children, and they were recruited by missionaries, and they were making them house servants.
Whoa.
And Braun was shot in the back by Tom Davis. He was a Baylor supporter. Braun then wheeled, drew his pistol, and killed Davis on the spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they helped old Braun home, and then he died of his wounds. So both of them died over that shooting. And in 1894, they held the first Cotton Palace Fair and Exhibition. Agriculture is big around Waco. I mean, you can see cotton fields everywhere you go. And since the end of the Civil War, it's been cultivated in Brazos and Bosque Valleys. It's known nationwide as a top producer of cotton. And it was destroyed. The building was destroyed in 1910. Then the Great Depression came along, and they tore the building down. Then in 1896... it was called the crash. It took place about 15 miles north of Waco. It was a big publicity stunt done by the railroad. It was the Missouri, Kansas, Texas Railroad Company. And they decided they'd have two locomotives intentionally set to a head-on collision. But it was going to be a fun deal. They weren't really going to crash them. And they had food, games, entertainment. The crash turned deadly when both of the boilers exploded simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, and two people died and six were seriously injured. On that day, they had planned to have all that merriment, and they learned a hard lesson. You don't run two locomotives together.
No.
No. Then in 1942, the Army Airfield opened as a basic pilot training school, and then in 1949, they changed the name to Connolly Air Force Base. It was in memory of Colonel James Connolly. He was a local pilot killed in Japan in 45. Then they changed it again in 1951. And the base, of course, in 1966 when they had all the, you know, the closings of the bases. And so many things have happened in Waco, Texas. In 1953, a tornado hit downtown, killed 114. And as of 2011, it remains the 11th deadliest tornado in U.S. history. And it tied to the deadliest in Texas state history. And it was the first one to ever be tracked by radar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then 1964, the Texas Department of Public Safety designated Waco as a site for the state-designated Museum of the Legendary Texas Rangers.
Cool.
They were founded in 1823. And then it became the official Hall of Fame for the Rangers, and they renamed it the Texas Ranger Hall of Fame and Museum. That's something everybody should go and see. But then the biggest thing of all that happened in Waco was in 1978, they discovered these bones in the mud there on the Brazos and Bosque River. They did all these excavations and realized the bones were 68,000 years old.
Whoa! 68,000?
68,000 years. They belonged to a species of mammoths. They found the remains of 24 mammoths, one camel, and one large cat. We don't know if it's bobcat or what it was.
Right.
It's the largest findings of its kind anywhere in the world. and they don't know why such a large herd had been killed all at once. And the National Park Service is wanting to include it in the National Park system. And the bones are now on display at the Wago Mammoth National Monument.
Wow. I'd love to go see that.
Yes, I thought it'd be worth your time. Now then, during the presidency of George Bush, Waco was the home of the White House Press Center.
Really?
And they provide briefing and office facilities for the press corps whenever Bush visited the Western White House. And this is where they landed every time to drive him 25 miles to Crawford. And they did everything right there at the Waco airport, which had been Connolly Field at one time. So Waco has got many, many interesting things. It's a small town. It's not a great big town, but it does have Baylor University, which is so famous and been there, you know, since the early 1800s. And then that suspension bridge that I talk about sometimes that was built in the 1800s, it was the world's largest suspension bridge when it was built. And the interesting thing about the bridge is that during the cattle drives that they'd been going downtown Waco and around, and when the suspension bridge was finished, these guys wanted to drive their cattle across the suspension bridge. And everybody, the cattle were scared, and they were scared, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't know for sure, you know, how that was going to end up. But that suspension bridge is famous right there in Waco, Texas. Been there early 1800s. So you've got so many things that's happened. So if a person went to visit, you would want to visit Baylor. You'd want to visit the suspension bridge, and then go spend a lot of time with the mammoths over there that are 68,000 years old.
Those things must be huge.
I imagine they are. But, you know, you've got so many things that's just amazing in that one little town where you could go and spend a weekend, you know?
Wow.
And, of course, the Dr. Pepper Museum is there. The Browning Library is there. And the Cameron Park Zoo is there.
My goodness.
Yeah, but the suspension bridge is worth seeing. It's an amazing thing that they built and suspended it in the 1800s.
Wow. It sounds like there's like more than just one weekend's worth of activities.
Well, yeah, you might not could even do it in a weekend. You might have to go, and if you had the time, 4 or 5 days there would not be unheard of now then.
Yeah.
During football and basketball, it's impossible almost to get a room in Waco, Texas.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That. You have to make sure there's no ball games that weekend or that week even.
Yeah.
I know people that have went there and didn't make a reservation. Said, "Oh, I'll just pick out one when I get there." You cannot do that in Waco, Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just too busy a place. There's too much going on in Waco.
It's a very exciting place.
It is. And then another thing that I used to like, it's not there anymore, but they had an old cafeteria downtown. I love to go to Waco and go to that old cafeteria and have lunch. They had everything like people used to make, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Ooh, old school food.
Old school food. The pies were to die for. They had pies, 2-mile-high pies, what I call it. It was so amazing. The meringue was so high and went so far.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
So there's a lot of things to see in Waco, Texas, a small town. The hotels are not that expensive. It's just takes a lot of them in Waco for all the things going on at all the time.
And aren't those design people from Waco?
Which ones?
I forget their names, but they did the Fixer Upper show.
Yes. You're talking about Joanna Gaines.
Yes.
And Chip Gaines, yes. They go to the First Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. They have a little bitty farm. They call it a farm. I think it's got 45 acres. And they have goats, they have chickens for those children, they have little calves for them, little puppies. I've seen everything, and they have everything in the world for a little kid to get excited about.
Yeah, and they had that store over there, too.
Oh, my gosh, I have been to that.
Really?
And they were built outside these silos, and then they redid the silos also. They're pretty smart people. They have made a fortune, by the way.
Wow. How cool.
Yes. They really have. Now, they've done their last show on Fixer Upper, but now they're going to have a new show. It'll only be 30 minutes, and it's going to be behind the scenes. How to make the fabrics work on chairs, how to buy the right colors of paint. They're going to teach people, women, a lot of things.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea they had a new show coming.
See, you have to keep up with things like I do.
Well, this is why I count on you.
That's right. You have to count on me because I keep up with everything. Yeah.
So it sounds like Waco is really, I mean, if you got a week maybe in the summertime, it might be a great place to spend a week-long like spring break or summer vacation over in Waco.
Yes, and they're, all their facilities that they have redone are downtown Waco on a little bitty streets off of 6th Street. And the silos are just old silos, grain silos. And then they redid the buildings to put all their things in. Now, when I was there about a year ago, they had 6 cash registers, and there was a line behind every one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, and then they built that little bakery next door, you know, and where they had cupcakes, all kinds of things like that.
Mm.
And now the old restaurant that is on right off of 35 is on a circle. They call it the Circle. And it was called the Elite Cafe. And they have redone that, and they're open for breakfast and lunch, and they tell me it's standing room only. The tourists are coming from far and wide to get to say they ate there.
Oh, my goodness.
And they say the breakfasts are wonderful.
Oh.
And I haven't eaten there, but I have heard about it.
Oh, I bet they're delicious.
Yeah, they sent word to me how good the breakfast was.
They sent word.
They sent word to me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
So much fun stuff to do in Waco, whether it's new things or historical things. There's really something for everybody is what it sounds like.
Yes, and you want to spend a lot of time at Baylor University. Go in there and look when it was started, all the interesting data on Baylor, which is great and wonderful, about the people who started it. There's just a million things to do in Waco about all the famous things that have happened there. You can't go wrong.
Brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And remember, we've still got Mother's Day, Father's Day, and you need to visit Ivy Cottage.
Yeah, because you don't want to forget about Mother's Day.
Oh, my gosh. You have to leave town again.
You may have to leave the country. My goodness.
That's right. You need to go farther than Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is all about retiring healthy and early and happy and wealthy. And the way to do that is to do the planning process. So for somebody who is, say they want to retire in maybe 7 or 8 or 10 years, is that enough time to go ahead and get started and begin the wealth building process?
I think it is. Don't wait till you're 80. You know, if at 80 you just want to make an investment, that's fine with your children.
Yeah.
But you need to be working on it now. If you're 40 years old, 50 years old, 60, 70, you need to get in gear and say, okay, I'm going to need $60,000 a year. I don't want to take it out of my principal. If you sit there and take it out of your principal, you will run out of money. You need to be taking this out of your interest only.
And
that's why everybody should do it that way.
And the reason for that is because, you know, and you were talking about, you know, every investor has to be accredited. And so this is not a paycheck type of investment. This is not invest and then I'm just going to take some money out because they can't get to it.
That's exactly right. What you need to do is say, starting next year, you know, we're going to retire. We're going to have money. How much do we need to have in cash and how much in our investments? Do we want something that can go down all the time? If you do, there's no use talking to me because ours isn't going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want something that cannot go down, that's either going to come due on time, early, or late, and you know that your principal is guaranteed. You know the principal can't go down. It's a life insurance policy. you know that Fay Bagby never touches your money. You know, the money goes to the bank, and the bank is the trustee for the whole thing. You know that your premiums will get paid because they're right there at the bank. And then when that person passes away, the bank will put the money in your account. So I think it's a win-win situation. It has risk, but I think the risk is worth it.
Now, I've talked to people who think they have enough to retire. They're pretty sure. They're about 90% sure. They know basically when they want to retire. So if somebody comes in with maybe a ballpark figure or an idea, can you sit down and help them figure out, okay, yes, you have enough to retire. No, you don't. You need to really invest this much. You really need to go for, you know, 3 more years or 2 more years or whatever. If they're right there borderline, but they can't say for sure how much they need each year after they retire, can you help them figure that out?
Yes, because what we're going to do, we're going to estimate it. I love to estimate it and say, okay, this is what I think you need in cash at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and sometimes they'll say, oh, we don't need that much, but you may, you know.
Well, yeah,
so that's what
up.
I try to do.
I mean, you know,
I want to always, you know, have that where they've got extra money and they're not cutting it close. And then I don't want them to go overboard either. You know, if they say they need $60,000 a year, don't take $150,000 a year out.
That's not going to work.
I am no longer responsible, let me tell you. You know?
So you're like Mama, keeping the budget in line.
That's right. We've got to keep that budget going for at least 6 or 7 years. And then you can kind of relax because we've got enough interest then that if you do something silly, it won't make any difference, you know?
So does it make people, is it almost reassuring to know that when they come to you, there's going to be different accounts set up? You'll have things set up so there's a, and I know I'm oversimplifying this, so correct me if I'm wrong or put in whatever terms you normally do, but people have an account for investing, and this account over here is where you're going to take funds to invest in policies. And then you've got another account over here that they have access to so that they can, you know, pay bills and go on vacation and go on trips and do whatever they want to do. And then there's another account for emergencies. Is that basically how it gets set up?
Yes. Well, what I like to do, as I said, if they have two different kinds of accounts, we're going to handle them different. If they have an IRA for the wife, one for the husband, you know, they may say, let's take it out of my wife's account for several years to live on, and we'll keep mine growing all that time. Or, you know, they may say, you know, we both have IRAs, we both have Roths, and then we have a joint account. It's much easier if they have, you know, several different kinds of accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to get it all together and figure out what we're going to do and how much in 7 or 8 years we're going to need for them. And they may not need any extra. We may have enough made during that time that it'll just keep going for the next 10 or 15 years, okay?
All right, so as people take money out of the one account, their investing account, and they invest in things, when they make that profit, what do most investors do with that profit? Where does it go?
They put it right back where it'll make more money. They take the interest and reinvest the interest just like they do the principal. And
so,
they'll do that for several years, and then they're taking a little out all the time, but it won't hurt them if they've got their interest right there. And then if one day they say, I need some more cash, then when that policy comes due, we put it back in the cash account.
So they're not hemorrhaging money. It's just when they use some, it gets replaced.
That's right.
Well, that sounds just brilliant to me.
Well, I think so, too. And, of course, as I said, we don't know for sure when they'll all come due. You know, we're not that smart.
Yeah.
But we know approximately on most of them, you know, when they're going to come due, okay?
And the way it works is to be diversified.
You've got to be diversified. Don't go in there with one policy and sit there all year waiting for that son of a gun to come due. You've got to have more than one. It's like the guy that just had one cow. He's going to build a herd. You know, that's going to be hard to do with one cow. You know? Now, if you had a couple of llamas, you could build a heck of a herd. I mean, you know, those little devils, you know. I mean, oh, me. You know, I'm sitting here right now with 5 baby llamas we were not expecting.
You got 5 baby. And how many llamas does that make for you total?
About 14.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'm thinking about having a raffle. Let's just have a raffle and raffle off a few llamas. I'd have to talk it over with the llamas, but, you know, if they were willing to leave home, it'd be okay.
You're going to have to create a llama sanctuary where people can come in and just tour the llamas, like a zoo.
Well, you know, people stop along the road and look at my llamas. The llamas will come up to the fence and talk to them.
Really?
They don't mind talking to them. Yes, the neighbor just had a new donkey. They went right over there at the fence and talked to that mother and the baby.
This got so weird so fast.
It did. Yes, it got weird. It got weird fast. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. All right. But so for somebody who is going to invest and they decided, okay, I want to at least come in and talk to you. They don't need to have a checkbook ready to go right now. It's perfectly acceptable for, say, and I know this happens a lot of times, is the husband will come in, he'll get some basic information, go home, talk to his wife, and then she will be like, okay, I'm not really sure. I believe you. I don't understand. You may not have this right. And then they both come in, right?
Yes. The wife wants to hear the story again, let me tell you. They don't care what the husband's told them. They want to hear it again just to be sure we're correct.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking about the checks. Usually people come in, they talk to me, they go home and talk in private, then they come back. But sometimes I have people come in and they've got their checks, but they're not sure they're going to give them to me that day. So they've got them out in the car in case they want to, but they're not going to say anything. So the other day, I had a group come in, a whole bunch of family members, and we talked, and the wife said, well, this is what I want to do. And he said, well, I want to do it too, but mine are IRAs. It'll take a few days. And I said, well, I know you live out of town. Do you want to go home and come back? And they thought over, and they talked to him. They said, no, we want to do it today. We don't have to come back. Oh, my goodness.
And so I think probably one thing we should mention is when you do this type of a life settlement, this is not like the stock market. And I think people will probably find great satisfaction in knowing that they don't have to get up in the middle of the night to see if they have any money, if they've made any money, where their money is. They know that basically once they put it in there, they set it and forget it and wait for an email.
That's exactly right. It is not like when you're in the stock market every night at midnight before you go to bed, you better be up checking that son of a gun, you know? And that's what people do. But with us, they do not have to do that because it's a life insurance policy. When the person passes away, you know, we are going to immediately call them and say, that policy has matured. Your money will be in your account in 6 or 8 weeks. We tell them right away. Yeah.
So people already know how they're going to get paid. They know they're going to get paid quickly, and it's a very straightforward, easy, simple, fast process.
Yes, it is. And everything's handled by the book. The bank handles it. They get the certified death certificate. They send it in. The insurance company makes a check out to the bank. The bank has a calculator, and they know how much each person's got in it. They know how much they're owed, and they put it in each person's account, and that's all there is to it.
So when the policy matures, they know, boom, boom, boom. It's just it's a very well-oiled machine. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Nobody's sitting around scratching their head going, oh, what do we do now? They already know.
That's right. They know what they're going to do. When it comes due, they know they're going to buy another policy.
Really? And this has to be very comforting to somebody's nerves, especially if they spent many years in the stock market, nervous about what's happening with their money. This has to do some wonderful things to their anxiety.
That's exactly right. It calms them down, helps them know that they do have a future, and it will be secure, you know?
All right. So, Faye, for somebody who wants to go ahead and come and talk to you this week, do you have availability? Do you have appointments?
We have availability, and I don't know what hours. I know this last week on Wednesday, I had people every 30 minutes on Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and everybody knows if my car is out front, Faye is here.
All right, but don't just drop in.
That's what happens. They come and say, can I make an appointment with Faye? Or they may drop in. You know, you just never know.
All right. So what should they get together? Like get their financials, find out where their assets are? What
yes.
should they do today?
They need to bring it in where we will know what happened.
Okay. All right. And one last time, Faye, what's the phone number to make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. And, of course, you know that we're right next door to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.